The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
It's the perfect Sunday to talk about baptism. We've had a lot of water, yeah, and it is the Sunday in Epiphany, the first Sunday of Epiphany, that we focus on the baptism of Jesus. The liturgical color for the baptism of Christ Sunday is white. You see the white banners and fabric reminds us where we are in the Christian year. We begin the season of Epiphany today, and it continues all the way up to just before Ash Wednesday, when the Sunday before Ash Wednesday, we have Transfiguration Sunday. That liturgical color is also white. It reminds us that Epiphany kind of has some bookends to it, and some similar things happen in those two events. At the baptism, we do see the full Trinity on display at the Transfiguration. We also have a similar thing happen where Jesus is transfigured before his disciples, and a voice from heaven says, "This is my son, my beloved son. I love him, and listen to him." Today, as we focus on baptism, I'm reminded of Matthew 3. You can listen or turn there if you want to as I read 13 through 17. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said," and here's that thing that I was alluding to a moment ago, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." If you go to Israel and you make the trek out to the Jordan River where this site is, you'll notice some things about it. It's pretty desolate. You have to really be going there to get there. That's an East Tennessee phrase. You know what that means? You have to be intentional about wanting to go. And it's right on the border with Jordan, and that means there's lots of people standing around with weapons to make sure nothing kicks off. You also notice that the Jordan River is not especially impressive. It's more like it kind of looks like across the street right now. In fact, not even that fast moving, although the color is the same. And I'm amazed that Jesus went out to do this. He was intentional about it. And John says there for a moment, "No, I don't think I need to be baptizing you," because John was baptizing for a baptism of repentance. The idea of baptism would have been familiar to the Jewish people. There are lots of ritual washings that happen, but this particular baptism was for repentance. Did Jesus have anything he needed to repent of? No. But many theological scholars and other commentators say, among other things, here's a place where Jesus is being consecrated for ministry. It's the official sort of beginning of his ministry. And you've got this endorsement from the Father. And it's a marvelous scene. A ministry colleague friend told me that there was a church that had kind of a mass baptismal event. And at that event, the thing that had disappointed him was, so far as he knew, there wasn't really any instruction before this took place, and they were baptizing lots and lots of people. And the pastor comes out and said very little about what was about to take place. And that doesn't necessarily bother me, because I think pastors probably talk entirely too much and should let these things speak for themselves. But in this case, there didn't seem to be any instruction, and said something to the effect of, "This is a really important thing. This is a big day for you, so let's do this." And that was it. And that makes me sad on about 12 different levels. But one of them is that, yes, baptism is really important. In fact, I've titled today's sermon, "Baptism Matters." And it matters in a lot of ways that you may not have thought of before. And I want to explore some of them today. It is an important thing, and it matters. But why? Mark down this scripture. I think it may also be in your order of service, but I'm going to look at Colossians 2, 6, and 7. And if you want to turn there, you can, or I'll also read and you can just listen. Colossians 2, 6 through 7. And then we're going to also jump down a little bit farther. This is what Paul is saying. And listen to these words again. Remember, we heard it a little earlier in the service. Let's break it down a little now. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Stop right there for a moment. Some things that already stick out to me. Paul's encouraging these young Christians in the faith to keep on keeping on. You're rooted in Him. You're built up in Him. He's emphasizing that we do this thing, this baptismal life in Christ. Skip now, please, to verse 11. Continuing the theme of this ends, verse 11, Colossians 2. In Him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Wow, there's lots packed in there. We're talking about circumcision, which I assume everybody knows what that is. It is an Old Testament, Old Covenant ritual for Jewish males, where part of the foreskin is cut away ritualistically at 8 days. And that is a very obvious mark. It's a sign of the covenant. We'll talk about that in a second. So we're talking about circumcision. We're talking about death. We're talking about life. We're talking about being buried. We're talking about being raised up. We're talking about Christ doing this circumcision. And how is that going to work anyway? Well, when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, you are circumcised in a new way. This new circumcision is not done with hands. It's not the old covenant circumcision, but there are some covenant components to this. What does Paul tell us in the passage we just read? What does Paul tell us that this new circumcision does? Well, a couple of things. One, he says it puts off the old self. So in circumcision, there is a cutting away. And he said, Paul, that this new circumcision also puts off something. What does it put off? Is it skin? No, it's putting off an old self, the corrupted flesh. Did you hear that language in there? Verse 11, in Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. What does it mean by Christ? When we say that Jesus is Lord, when we bend the knee, when we say, I am yours and you are mine. The second thing Paul says that this new circumcision does is that it links us to Christ. And it links us to Him in His death and in His resurrection. Have you thought about that before? Have you thought about how you are bound to Christ in His death and in His own resurrection? In the second century, there was a writer, commentator, Justin Martyr. You may know that name. And he writes this, "And we who have approached God through Him have received not carnal, but spiritual circumcision." So Justin Martyr is saying it's not of the flesh, it's not by hands, but it's a kind of spiritual circumcision, "which Enoch and those like him observed. And we have received it," how? "We have received this spiritual circumcision through baptism, since we were sinners by God's mercy, and all men may equally obtain it." And he means there, obviously, all people, because we're talking about a spiritual circumcision. More on that in a minute. I want you to cast your minds back to the way back at the time of Abraham. And God makes a covenant with Abram. In fact, one of the things that covenants do, and we've talked about this often, is that it makes family. It makes family relationships. And one of the things that happen when you make family relationships is that there are names that change. And Abram's name changed because he went into a covenant with God. Remember that covenants are not contracts for goods and services, but rather they are arrangements that create family. When you go to the car dealership, God forbid, and the guy comes out and 17 times has to run back to talk to the manager and see what we can do, and you finally sign that contract, it's not a covenant. You're not now brother-in-law to the guy who sold you the car, right? It's for goods and services. Covenant's completely different. Covenant, and we hear that word a lot, covenant makes family. Covenant makes family relationships. And every covenant has at least two components. And the first component is the word of the covenant. That's where all the expectations are laid out. Very oftentimes you hear in a covenant, in Scripture most especially, where the person making the covenant says, "This is who I am." God says, "I'm God and you're not. And these are my expectations for you." That's the word of the covenant. And then the other part to a covenant is the sign of the covenant. That confirms or stamps. It ratifies the covenant. So there's word and sign. And by the way, we do that every week when we come to worship at Epiclesis. We hear the word, God's expectations for us in His holy word. And then we participate in a sign of the new covenant when we come to table. Covenant, word, covenant, sign. I want you to listen for those pieces in Genesis 17. You can turn there if you want to, but also read it. You can just listen. In Genesis 17, this is the place where God is making a covenant with Abram. And it's not the only covenant He makes with Abram, but in this particular one, we get the word first in verses 1 through 8. God tells Abram who God is. In fact, He says, "I am God Almighty." It really pleased me so when we sang those very words this morning. God says to Abram, "I am God Almighty. Therefore, by implication, you're not. And He says, all that He, God, will do. "I'm God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully, be blameless, and you will be the father of many nations." Father Abraham had many sons, you remember? That's the word of the covenant. And then in verses 9 through 11, we get the sign part. Verse 9, "Then God said to Abraham, 'As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep, here it is, every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the," there it is, what's it say? "Sign. It will be the sign of the covenant between me and you." Abram says, we're making an arrangement here. We're making family. Here are the words. And the sign of the covenant, the thing that's going to ratify this covenant, is the circumcision. So God's telling and showing Abram that he must put off, cut off the old self. And that circumcision is a very obvious sign of that, isn't it? There's blood. There's some pain. I can, in my spiritual imagination, imagine Abram going back to all of his household after this event and saying, "Wonderful news, I have just heard from God Almighty, and He's got some wonderful things in store for us. There's a little something else that we need to talk about as well." God's telling Abraham that he has to put off the old way of life, the old self. It's covenant, new arrangement, family. Every male child of the old covenant had to receive the sign of the covenant. And that's how little ones were brought into the covenant family. And circumcision was the initiation sign. But now in Colossians 2, Paul says that baptism is the new covenant circumcision. Baptism is the sign of the new covenant. There's no blood. Why? Because Jesus already did that for you. Amen? But there are covenant components. There's some things that happen when we participate in, when we make this sign of the new covenant. There's a new reality, for one. Circumcision brought every male Hebrew child and the people by extension into the family. Now baptism is the entry point into the new covenant family, into the new kingdom, into the kingdom of God. And it's not just for males, because Galatians 3:28 says, there's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Baptism matters. Covenant, word, and sign. I said a minute ago that baptism is not only a sign for putting off our old self, but it also links us to Christ in his own death and in his own resurrection. Listen to Romans 6, 3 and following, where Paul spells that out. And listen for the contrast between life and death. Are you ready? Paul's spelling out this business of our being linked to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Romans 6, 3 through 10. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. For if, listen closely, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. That's why we need to be bound to Christ in his death, because we are therefore also bound to him in his resurrection. Can I get an amen up in here this morning? For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. Doesn't that sound a lot like the language Paul is using with the business of circumcision? I'm going to read it again, verse 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body, once ruled by sin, might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. What does death do? Sets you free from sin. Verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Anything you need to cut away this morning? Anything have mastery over you that you need to put off? Listen, according to Paul, when we were baptized into the death of Christ Jesus. And Paul says that we were buried with Jesus by baptism. What a picture that is. It's a vivid picture. We are plunged into this watery grave when we are baptized. But thanks be to God, we don't stay down there. We're raised up to new life in Christ. And the old self and the old way and all of that other stuff has been cut away and no longer has mastery over us. Yeah? What a beautiful picture. Baptism matters. Just like Jesus died to reverse the curse of Adam and was buried, we come to the waters and we die to the old way. And you know what? You can hear that watery pattern all over, particularly the Old Testament. I'm thinking about Noah and his family. They pass through the waters in the ark. And on the other side of that is new life. And I'm thinking about Israel passing through the waters of the Red Sea. They had been delivered by Moses. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10 that they were baptized into Moses and that they emerged on the other side, a brand new people, something brand new. And what remained in the water? Well, Pharaoh's armies, for one, and an old way of life. It's cut off. They're now on a sojourn to become a new people. Paul tells us that we're buried with Jesus into death and we're raised up with him into new life. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. It is no longer I who live. Baptism matters. We don't get baptized to be raised up into a better me. I don't get baptized to be raised up to have my best life now. I have died, and my life is hidden in Christ, and He's living through me. Baptism matters. Now, here's a theological truth that's important. We don't get baptized and rebaptized and rebaptized. Well, actually, some churches do that around revival time to get the statistics up, but we don't do that normally and regularly. The Bible says that baptism is a once-for-all thing, but that one occurrence does become a pattern for the way we're supposed to live our Christian lives. You may remember Carla Waterman coming and saying that baptism is the code, C-O-D-E, code for Christian living. It's the pattern. It's the thing that reminds us what we're supposed to do as we walk out our baptisms. You hear us talk about that a lot around here. That we die daily to self, and that we rise daily to new life in Christ. Jesus said it this way, Luke 9:23, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross, what? Daily. Daily. We experience baptism once, but we live out the pattern of it day after day after day. Baptism matters. We are crucified with Christ. The old person is cut off and buried. We take up that cross daily, and then we rise daily to walk in newness of life. Thanks be to God. That's our spirituality. And it's rooted in the person and work of Jesus. So today is a wonderful day to renew that covenant, to remember that covenant, and to say yet again, I reject Satan and all of his evil works, and I turn to that new life in Christ. Today is a wonderful day on this Baptism of Christ Sunday to say, I no longer live. I have been linked with Christ in his death, and thanks be to God, I've been linked with him in his resurrection. Yeah? So today, we're not going to get baptized again, but we are going to renew that baptismal covenant. And so I'd like for you to turn to page 6, please. There is a tradition in the Methodist Church of a renewal of covenant long about this time of year, every year. And we're doing a similar kind of thing here now as we remember our baptisms and we renew the covenant that binds us to God. Now, I'm going to ask you to participate in this intentionally, because when you go to the Jordan, you have to be going there to get there. One more thing. When we come to the table of the Lord in just a few moments to participate in the sign of the new covenant, another important sign of the new covenant, you'll pass by the font there. And we have that for you every single Sunday because baptism matters. And it's a reminder that we all come through the waters as our initiation rite into the church. And as you come by the water this particular Sunday, I'd like for you to interact somehow. Maybe dip a hand in, splash around. You might want to pour some on your head. It's up to you. But I'd like for you to remember your baptism, particularly as you go by the font and maybe dip a hand in. You might want to make the sign of the cross on your forehead. Not sure how the Holy Spirit will lead you that way, but let's really use that tactile symbol today, that fulsome symbol to remember our baptisms. All right? All right. Then if you would, remain seated and we will renew our baptisms together. Together we say, Father, you have appointed our Lord Jesus Christ as mediator of a new covenant. Give us grace to draw near with fullness of faith and join ourselves in a perpetual covenant with you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the Old Covenant, God chose Israel to be a special people and to obey the law. Our Lord Jesus Christ by his death and resurrection, has made a new covenant with all who trust in him. We stand within this covenant and we bear his name. On the one side, God promises in this covenant to give us new life in Christ. On the other, we are pledged to live not for ourselves, but for God. Today, therefore, we have met to renew the covenant which binds us to God. Let us claim the covenant God has made with his people and accept the yoke of Christ. To accept the yoke of Christ means that we allow Christ to guide all that we do and are, and that Christ himself is our only reward. We take on the yoke of Christ, our God. Christ has many tasks to be done. Some are easy, others are difficult. Some make others applaud, others bring only reproach. Some tasks we desire to do because of our own interests, others seem unnatural. Sometimes we please Christ and meet our own needs, and at other times we cannot please Christ unless we deny ourselves. We take on the tasks of Christ, our reward. Yet, Christ strengthens us and gives us the power to do all these things. Therefore, let us dedicate ourselves anew to this covenant with God. Let us give ourselves completely to God, trusting in his promises. And if you will, extend your hands as we say together and pledge, I give myself completely to you, O God. Assign me to my place in your creation. Let me suffer for you. Give me the work you would have me do. Give me many tasks or have me step aside while you call others. Put me forward or humble me. Give me riches or let me live in poverty. I freely give all that I am and have to you. And now, Holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. May this covenant made on earth continue for all eternity. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray that the words that we have said with our lips, we would act out with our feet, and that you would remember this day that we renew the covenant in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the sign of the covenant that is baptism, because baptism matters. I pray that it would give us the code, the pattern for living daily. And as we prepare now to participate in another very important covenant sign, that of coming around your table, I pray that you would help us to experience that in a way today we might not have ever before. We do say lovingly that you are ours and we are yours. So be it. As we pray these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future Faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.